Hi guys, welcome back to Not By Sight, a place where we hear real life stories of how God speaks to us in the valley as we walk believing in things hoped for but not yet seen. Today I sit down with one of my best friends, Tasha Finkus. Tasha lives in Fayetteville, Arkansas with her husband Jacob and her six-year-old son Kai. She is a homeschool mama by day and a mental health counselor by night. Today we're going to hear her powerful story. It involves childhood trauma and rescue, forgiveness, and peace. As you'll find out, Tasha is a true overcomer and one of the most joyful and encouraging women that I know. Tasha, girl, thank you so much for being on today's episode of Not By Sight.
Of course. I can't turn down something like that. I can't turn you down, Deb.
Oh, girl. Well,
I can't turn God down.
Yes, I know. And I just feel like your story is a total God story. First of all, I feel like we need to explain to people like a little bit about how we met, how we know each other, and I thought maybe, you know, we could kind of share some first perspectives of one another when we met.
Oh my. Okay. You should go first.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. So Tasha and I met through our wonderful, fabulous, kind friend, Kimberly Stevens. She united us into friendship. And the first time I met Tasha, I thought she was this world traveler. We sat down at, where did we go and have lunch at?
It's a Greek place. I don't know.
Tzatziki's. Yeah. So Tasha and I met for the first time at Tzatziki's. She had this like beautiful sundress on, sandals, makeup, hair was done. And she was talking about how she had just gone to, was it China?
Japan. We had just got back from Japan like the week before or something.
And she was like, oh, I was just in Japan and I was, you know, having sushi. And I was like, wow, this girl is, can't touch this. And then I got to know you.
And then the real deal came out. We are not world travelers, but we have been very fortunate and blessed to have gone to a few places abroad before our son was born.
Yes. And that is where I really think our story picks up, because the coolest thing about Tasha and our friend Kimberly, who introduced us, we were all pregnant at the same time. Our baby boys, which we, I don't even know if we knew they were boys yet. We all delivered our babies within 1 month of each other.
Yes.
And I'll never forget that photo we have of our three bellies in the one shot. And yeah, and that's how we got Andrew, which is Kimberly's son, and then Isaac and Kai.
Yes.
And so, but going back to Tasha, let me just tell you a little bit about Tasha. So Tasha is one of those people, I'm going to make you blush, but she is somebody who could literally, she'll make friends with anybody. She could talk to a wall and the wall would be talking back to her.
I'm going to take that as a very flattering compliment.
Yes. But what's so great about you, Tasha, is that seriously, you can relate to anyone. And I really think that's such a great quality, because I feel like sometimes when people walk into situations, they kind of pick out the person in the room that they're like, okay, I think I could get along with them, or I think I would, you know, find a common ground with them. But I feel like with you, you are so welcoming and you have this way about you that just welcomes everyone. And I'm going to brag on you some more, but Tasha does this amazing thing every Mother's Day. At least you did this for a couple years in a row. You would basically throw this like shindig to celebrate your mom friends, and you and Tasha would call local businesses and have them donate free services or items, like getting nails done or like a dinner certificate or something. And I just love that about you. Like, you have such a heart for other women. You have a heart for moms. You have a heart for children. And so I just want to just like edify you there, girl, because I just think it's amazing and awesome. And I know you have truly blessed so many mothers through your precious, precious heart. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, that means so much. See what? We're 2 minutes in and I'm already getting teary-eyed. It's easier when I'm surrounded with like-minded, especially people, mothers, and even not so, just ones that I want to try to lift up, to show God's love and to show God's grace, and that mothering is hard, but it's so rewarding. And I didn't start out in life with the best role model, the best, I don't know, my first 5 years of life were just turmoil. They were trauma. Oh gosh, I've walked here and there and everywhere. And my whole life has been my testimony.
So Tasha, normally when I have people on this show, they tell me about a valley experience that they went through, that they felt like they saw God in the midst of, or that they saw God's hand as they came out of that valley. But I feel like your story is so deep and multi-layered because you were in the valley for so long as a young child. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like to be in that valley as a young child?
And let me start off by saying that this is something that some people don't know about me. And so I have had a struggle of just how much do I share? Do I bare my heart? Who's going to judge me or have a different perception? But all I can do is be authentic as I can and just share with you as a friend, and that maybe somewhere, somebody, somehow will be able to use part of my experience to help them along their journey. So I would say, I guess my journey just started when I can remember. In foster care, I was put up for adoption, actually taken away. Me and three biological brothers were taken away from my biological parents when I was 2 years old. And my birth mom has said one thing, and my adoptive mom has said another in courts. But all in all, it was something that has shaped who I am today. I have had different types of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical and emotional neglect within my biological family, incarcerations, drug abuse, alcoholism. The main thing out of all of it, I think, with the adverse childhood experiences, are the loss of a parent. Like, I didn't have my caregiver, my person to secure me in the world, to help me to feel loved and safe and connected and have security. We were, and I felt bounced around. I was in foster care in at least three different families. Some with my biological brothers, some all by myself, and one with one of my brothers at the time. And one of my brothers also has special needs. And he's actually my Irish twin. He's 11 months younger than me.
That's so cool.
And he is amazing. He's very amazing. We were finally adopted all together, all four of us. From my mom and dad, my forever mom and dad, when I was five, not quite six, but somewhere between like five and a half to six. And they accepted the challenge of taking all four of us in at once. Wow. And they already had two biological sons of their own. So very quickly we became a family of six children with a mom and dad. Yeah, and I guess that's kind of where my life started.
Do you really feel like that? Like when you were adopted, that's really where your life started? Like when you look at before age five and then after age five, like what's obviously the main difference is you were adopted, but why do you say that?
I didn't really know what love was. Mm-hmm. Until then, I just was broken I know you might think, well, you're five, you're two. How much do you know? How much do you remember? And I remember a lot. I remember so much just different abuses and neglects, and even some of them are still coming out today. And God has been so merciful by allowing me to know that He is with me in those moments when I have these flashbacks, or if I've become triggered by memories that have been buried in my subconscious. And He's allowing me slowly but surely to have a bit more knowledge and a bit more peace. And with that peace comes clarity. And, but yeah, I think like mothering is so important to me because my attachment style was non-existent. I was disorganized. Right. I felt I wasn't wanted or needed or accepted. And some of those characteristics still stick with me today, and I fight them. I fight them with all of the grace that God has given me, and to retell my story and to rewrite the narrative that's in my head, that the things that I have had to learn because of survival, emotional survival, physical survival, I don't need those anymore. I always don't need those. I don't have to go back to that reaction. I can be intentional now.
Now, I know that as we have talked about your childhood, you did say that there was a shift where you felt like your life truly began. Tell me about that. Yeah, tell me about that moment where you realized, oh my gosh, there is another life for me, and I do have hope.
When I was five, and I remember our foster mom at the time saying, okay, there's a family that's going to come look at you, that's going to come see if they want to take you home or not. So you guys need to dress really nice, make sure your hair is brushed. You know, we put on our Sunday best outfit. I had a dress on, a yellow dress on. And I remember my foster mom, I think, had curled my hair. And I remember knowing that this family was going to come and look at us and see if we were worthy enough to take home. And sorry, man, it's so emotional.
No, it's heavy. This is your story, and it's a lot.
I don't often have to tell this story. So, but I remember looking out the window, and I remember just watching and just wondering, oh my gosh, what are they going to look like? Are they going to like me? You know, I don't want to mess it up. And I just remember like staring down the dirt road that they were going to come in. And I remember noise in the background of the chaos of just the house. And then I remember the car driving down and the dust flying up. And I was just so curious, and my face was glued to that window. And then I saw her.
You saw your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your forever mom.
Yeah, my the mom that sought me out, that sought my brothers and I out. Wow. The mom that wanted to be a mom. And I remember. And I swear this was the Holy Spirit upon her at the time. She had gotten out of the car with my dad. But I just, there was a glow about her. There was this light. And I was just in awe. Wow. And I was so excited. And I just knew. I just knew in that moment of, I went from the valleyest of valleys of feeling unloved, uncared for, unappreciated, unseen, to hope, to possibility, to what a future could be.
Right. Well, and just the fact that you were kind of lifted out of this valley of your experiences in the foster care system, you were lifted out and put into a higher place, to me, is what it sounds like, by finding your forever family. And how do you feel like your adoptive parents, your forever parents, really created a true home for you to where you felt the love and the belonging and safe?
Oh, yes. So I remember my parents just being present. They asked for our opinions. They wanted to know what we thought. They wanted to know how we felt. And my mother, she's so good at empathizing. And I remember as a very young girl, after we were adopted, having nightmares. I remember having dreams that I was locked in a cage in a dungeon. And my mom at the bars outside of this dungeon, and I was reaching through this big cage, this big bird cage thing that I was in, screaming and crying and reaching out for her. And I just felt that it was too good to be true, and that my life was going to be taken away, and that rug, that so comfy rug, was going to be pulled out from under me, and I was going to have to go back into the whirlwind of the unknown. And I remember my mom laying with me at night and saying a prayer for me. And that was actually my first knowledge of ever knowing about God. Wow. And I told you before, I know that this is where I felt my life began. But prior to like 5.5 years old, life just happened. Life happened to me. I didn't have any control. I didn't feel safe and secure. I just felt broken. Right. And it didn't all go away at once, of course, but it was the first time that I saw, yeah, like you said, hope and that light and compassion, and just that grace that I knew I didn't know, but I knew later on that God was blessing them with to help us.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you told me that with your mom, especially, you know, with that prayer that she prayed for you that night that you had the nightmare. And I'm sure that she probably prayed
many times,
you know, many nights for you, right? I mean,
yeah, many times for all of us.
Yeah. And just to have that peace that came with the prayer to help like eliminate those, you know, bad dreams and to, you know, get you through that, to get that good night's sleep. Do you feel like your mom really reflected, you know, the faith that you have today? Do you feel like she really was that example of what you believe in today?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And my mom tells me, Tosh, stop putting me on a pedestal. You've had me on this pedestal all your life. And I'm not denying that I have, because I feel that she and my father are my are my earthly saviors. Right, they rescued us out of the unknown and the hell that I felt I was in. And of course, things weren't always perfect from then on out, just as any life is. There were ups and downs, you know, valleys and mountain peaks from then on. Mm-hmm. But it was nothing. It was nothing like what we were in. And I always felt secure. Mm-hmm. There was a security of belonging after that.
You know, I remember you sharing with me, you know, I want to say maybe a year ago or so, that that there were some memories that you had of past trauma that were resurfacing, that maybe you had subconsciously kind of pushed down, and that you felt like God revealed it to you and then spoke into it. Can you share some of that with us?
Okay. Wow. yes, I can. So our friend that you've already mentioned, Kimberly Stevens, she is a friend and a mental health counselor, as I am. And so she had described to me, breath work, how to do a certain type of meditation to unlock your brain power. You know, we only use like 10% of our brain, and how to reach to that level and to do it in a way that to pray beforehand, to ask God and the Holy Spirit to lead you, to show you. And so I was too curious not to try. but the thing is, I felt I had this curiosity of wanting to, but I felt God say, yes, you can. I want you to go to the guest bedroom where you're all alone. And I want to speak to you through this, this breath work. And I was okay. And so I started doing it. I was doing my breathing and meditation alone. I just kept going. I don't know how long I was doing this for. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a flash of light behind my eyelids. And I was like, okay, I think I'm tapping into something. Right. And so I kept going, you know, large, fast, shallow breaths. And then another flash of light. And then I had a snapshot of my childhood. Hmm. You know, I don't really know how old I was. I want to say I was around four, in the four mm-hmm. age range. And I remember playing outside under a big tree. There was lots of seed pods and acorns all around. I was gathering them up in piles. I just didn't have a care in the world. Mm-hmm. And so in this experience, I was in my body and I was also outside of my body. So mm-hmm. I was seeing myself. I could feel myself in my being, of knowing that I was in a different, I don't know, realm, arena, right. Yeah. but I could also look down at myself and see myself. An experience I've never had before, ever. Right. And so, yeah, so I saw myself, and I saw that there was probably like a big family gathering. There was a lot of cars there, a lot of people inside the house, and I was by myself out. And then a man drove up in a truck, and he stopped and he said, "Come inside." And I don't remember what his face looked like. I don't even know exactly who he was. Mm-hmm. But I got in his truck. I was four. I didn't really know any better. I wasn't taught safety stuff, or maybe mm-hmm. I knew him and I trusted him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I assume I did know him since he was at this house, his family gathering. But and so I went into his truck, and I will spare you the details, but God showed me what had truly happened that day. And I remember a flashback before this, that I had been playing under a tree and gathering acorns. Like, I remember that flashback. Right. And I remember knowing that I had tasted beer before. And I was like, why did I taste beer when I was a little girl? Like, that makes no sense. I wonder what happened. But I never knew. Mm-hmm. And so God showed me through this experience what had happened. Mm-hmm. And I was just so scared. I didn't know what to do. I just floated out of that memory. Like, it just went, seemed mm-hmm. so fast. I floated out of that memory to a next memory. This one, I was in a treehouse. And I was, again, I was seeing myself out of my body and experiencing the here and now of me and the then of me. Mm-hmm. And I was invited into the treehouse by a teenager and a few other boys, maybe 7 or 10 years old. And I remember the older boy instructing the younger ones to hold me down. And again, I will not go into detail, but I experienced that again through the eyes of that younger me. And I remember trying to get away. I remember at times crying. I remember wiggling. I remember sobbing. And I didn't know what to do with this uncovered, horrific mm-hmm. knowledge right. about what happened to my younger me. And I lost it. Deb, mm-hmm. I cried. Mm-hmm. I sobbed. That's not, mm-hmm. I just sobbed.
Right.
My whole being fell apart. But in the middle of all of this, like, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's all I can describe it as, of the Holy Spirit of God. And in that bed, he wrapped his arms around me And I had come out of those memories, and I was just laying there. And I remember the feeling of God just wrapping his arms around me, his whole being around me. And he was crying with me. And he just whispered into my soul, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that happened to you." And I just let his warm embrace engulf my pain and engulf my sorrow.
Wow.
And he knew I needed to be held and I needed to be comforted. And then I had a moment with God, and because I knew he was there, and I said, "God, why now? You know, why show me this now?" And he kindly answered back and he said, "I wanted to protect you. As you love your son Kai, I wanted to protect you until I knew that it was the right time. If you had known this knowledge before, then your life would have turned out different. You needed to know in the comfort of my care, to know that I was with you and I am always with you. And so now you can be set free." That's what he said to me.
Wow.
That's powerful. And I laid there and I soaked that in. And the next thing I knew, I mean, you know, my eyes were closed. And I saw my dad who has passed almost 3 years ago. And I saw my dad, and he reached out a hand. And he said, "I'm so sorry, sis. If I only knew, I could have gotten you help." And I looked at him, and his face was so caring and so kind. And I said, "It's okay, Dad. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven." And I felt when I said that I was talking to God. You know, he is my father. And those parts of me that wondered, why would this happen? Why would this happen to the innocent, to anybody? And I said, "You're forgiven. You're forgiven." And then I went through a series of people. In my head, I went through my biological parents. I went through just those boys and that man and anybody that I felt had ever wronged me in any way. And I just said, "I forgive you. I forgive you." I repeated it so many times. "I forgive you all." And it's indescribable. The overwhelming peace that flowed through me was nothing like I had ever experienced. The darkness was no more. I saw the light. Like, I saw just the
it's just, like, you were released.
I was released. Yes, I was released. Those years of the shame and guilt and confusion was instantly wiped away. Like, and I just repeated, the first verse that came to my mind was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I just repeated this in my mind, and to reassure myself of his love, of his perfect timing, of his grace, and the way that he let me experience, these memories, these horrible memories, in his holy presence. And so that I could be set free of the prison that I was in.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a powerful, powerful testimony to, you know, God speaking in the midst of such traumatic pain and freeing you, you know,
yeah.
you were set free. And what I love about your story is not only were you set free, but you made the decision to use past trauma, past pain that you were set free from to actually dedicate your life to helping others. You know, like, what the enemy meant to harm you, God is reworking for your good. And you know, I'd love to hear a little bit about that, about how you decided to go into, you know, becoming a mental health counselor and your work as a therapist and how you are able to use what you've been through to help others.
I think that the experiences that I've been through in life help me to hold space for others that are going through really hard times. That it's of all the unstable and the chaotic and the traumatic and the disruption of emotions, of knowing that we're not defined by our past, that God is writing the story of our future. And I think, like, I have compassion. I have compassion for those that have lived a really hard life and that are trying. And I think that's the goal of, like, how can we show love? How can we be a person for others that we needed to, that we needed at a certain time? So, you know, I know that I came into this field of the helping profession because I wished I had someone like that to be able to process. And I know my mom and dad did the best that they could with what they had. But I also know that I'm a work in progress, you know, these are still things that come and go, they ebb and flow. And some weeks and days and years I'm on that mountain, and some weeks and days I'm climbing the mountain,
right. Yeah.
And, or down in the valley, and there's nowhere else to look but up. And to be that, to help be that hope for others, to help them find what it is inside themselves that they can dig deep from, that's a gift that I know God has given me. And I dedicate my work. I dedicate all of myself to his purpose and his glory. And I say, you know what? It's not my own. You gave me life. You can take it and do with it as you will. And I will try to help others along the way.
I love that, Tasha. I love that so much. You know, thinking about even just what people are going through right now in the unknowns, in the wondering what our world is even going to look like, you know, as we're still in the midst of this whole coronavirus and people are finding themselves in new valleys. All different kinds of things have placed so many of us kind of in a valley of walking by faith, not by sight. What would you share with someone who finds themselves in a valley where they don't see any hope or they don't see light at the end of the tunnel? What, you know, how would you encourage someone who finds themselves in the midst of their own personal valley?
Yeah. Oh man. That's a good and hard question because it's going to look so different for everybody. Mm-hmm. Cause there's not a cookie cutter response to that. For some people it's their faith, that they've already had. Some people, they don't have that yet. And some people, they need support. They need someone that's in their corner, someone that will just listen. That there doesn't always have to be advice.
Right.
Sometimes it's just letting that emotion, that feeling come out so you don't become the emotion.
And
it's that release that you can have. For some people, it's just the moving. It's getting out. It's experiencing the outdoors, and sometimes it's a song or a certain smell. It's using our senses to keep us in the here and now, and
present.
Not to to be present and to have those people around you that just fill your cup, that overflow your cup, and that you can do the same for.
And also having community, right? I
mean, having just being able to community, talk. Yes.
And even this whole digital age of being able to connect through technology is awesome. You know, it's like, imagine if we were going through all this and we couldn't even connect in any sort of way digitally. You know,
I would be so sad. I need my people. I need my tribe, my community, like you said.
I love that. So true. Is there anything else that you want to share or add that you feel like we just haven't talked about or mentioned, or anything you kind of want to leave us with?
One of our favorite family verses, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things. He doesn't say some things. He doesn't say that one thing 10 years ago or one thing 10 years from now. He says, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's Christ is the one that gives us strength. God is the one that gives us hope. And sometimes to be able to get to that place of the peace and understanding comes vulnerability and grace, resiliency, evolving our shame into self-compassion. And finding it not as an affliction, but as a strength. And how do we grow from that? How do we grow from the things that have happened to us? Are we going to be stuck in victim mode? And if you are stuck in victim mode, then you're going to be often stuck in suffering. And, you know, things might happen to us that aren't our fault. But it's our responsibility now, with awareness and curiosity, to do better and to be better. And, you know, my life, my heart, my happiness is my responsibility. And part of how I take that responsibility and not being stuck is through gratitude, you know, finding that gratitude, finding the littlest things throughout my day that just bring hope. Sometimes to get to where we want to be, we have to go through those valleys before we can get to that mountain and look down and look back and see that all of it makes sense later on.
Right, right. And it also takes such bravery and courage. And I feel like that's what I really see in your story too, is that you chose to believe and have faith and to be brave and courageous. And I know that God gave you that, those qualities and that ability to face, you know, the toughest, darkest moments of your story. And especially so impressed with how you have turned such painful experiences. You haven't let them, you know, weigh you down. You haven't let them ruin your life. I think there's a lot of people that have gone through just terrible, terrible things, including things that you have been through, where it kind of defines them. And you have basically said, no, I'm not going to let these things define me, because I know that God is the author of my story, and my story is not finished. And so I just love that about you. And I just, again, I just want to just commend you in your faith. Like it speaks to me, and I know it speaks to so many people. And I really think it also gets people wondering, like, why is Tasha the way she is? Like, where does she get her joy from? Where does she get her like pizzazz, you know? Like, cause you're so fun. You're so awesome. You girl, I love you. You know, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. And may I please add, my dearest Deb, that you have been one of those people in my life that have helped secure me, that have helped me feel safe. And because we all yearn to be connected to others, we are social beings, and you are such a bright ray of sunshine, and you're silly and goofy, and you bring out my best qualities because of your best qualities. Aww. And so I want to thank you for your heart, and for your heart for God, and to help others, and to be the voice, and to help others try to have their voice, even though sometimes it can be really scary. Thank you.
Thanks, Tasha. I really hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Please be sure to subscribe to Not By Sight and share this podcast with others. Also, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me at notbysightpodcast@gmail.com and check out our Facebook group page called Not By Sight Podcast. You guys take care.